This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Of people who were victims of not only Dan Schneider, but also Brian Peck.
Some of which are embarrassing and that I regret. It was wrong. It was wrong that I ever put anybody in that position. It was the wrong thing to do. I'd never do it today. I'm embarrassed that I did it then.
Who are you to demand massages on set? I'm sure other folks' backs hurt. I'm sure the camera guy, the grip guy, the people putting up the sets.
Get ready. Y'all get ready.
Yes, you get ready.
You want the latest news in the streets? Join us and tune in for the tea. Breaking news with integrity. So tell your friends and your family.
It's the Lovely Tea TV Show.
Bringing you good tea and good
vibes. It's the Lovely Tea TV Show.
Be sure to share, like, and subscribe.
Hey, Tea Sippers. I hope you guys are doing good. So it has been a lot going on with this whole Nickelodeon situation. So if you guys do not know, this past weekend, the documentary series called Quiet on the Set uncovered the challenging aspects of Nickelodeon's golden era, and they largely focused on Dan Schneider and also Brian Peck. So for y'all who don't know, Dan Schneider was once very revered. He was a children's program director. He wrote a lot of shows. His popular shows were The Amanda Show, Zoe 101, Victorious. And despite the success and the cultural impact of these shows, that these shows had on millions of children, the truth has been coming out first online, and now the networks are, you know, basically telling the story of people who were victims of not only Dan Schneider, but also Brian Peck. And basically, he's been accused of everything from, you know, just a verbally toxic, abusive set to gender discrimination. Quiet on the Set not only highlights the experience of those who work with Schneider, but also prompts a broader reflection on the need for a systematic change within the entertainment industry, you know, particularly when it comes to young people. There needs to be a change. And it's also undoubtedly opened up Pandora's box. And now you have Dan Schneider, honey, going on a hobo apology tour. And he's meeting with some black man. I believe he was once a child actor. I'm not sure. But we're going to go ahead and watch his apology together. I'm going to give my reaction on what I think about the situation. So let's go ahead and see what good old Dan Schneider has to say for himself and all these allegations that have been levied against him.
Hey, it's Boogie. I play T-Ball in Nickelodeon's iCarly. I got a chance to watch the Quiet on Set program, and I reached out to Dan to see if it was something that he'd be willing to discuss. I'm pleased to say that he said yes.
Aww.
Dan, how are you?
I'm okay. I really appreciate you reaching out and giving me the opportunity to talk to you about what we saw over the last two nights.
I'm really glad you're here because I believe this is important.
For sure.
We've got a lot of things to unpack. But before I dive into my list of topics that I'd like to discuss, is there anything you'd like to start off with?
Absolutely. Watching over the past two nights was very difficult, me facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret. And I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology.
Yes, Dan, you owe a lot of people not only a strong apology, but to take ownership for your actions. And once again, who is this black man who done ran up with a cape to do an interview with Dan Schneider? From what I heard, this isn't even this black man's podcast. This was on Dan Schneider's YouTube channel. This is where I found the video. So, I don't know. We're just going to keep watching and seeing what all he has to say.
Massages.
Okay.
Watching the content yesterday, it was disturbing.
It was wrong. It was wrong that I ever put anybody in that position. It was the wrong thing to do. I'd never do it today. I'm embarrassed that I did it then. I apologize to anybody that I ever put in that situation. And even additionally, I apologize to the people who were walking around Video Village or wherever they happened, because there were lots of people there who witnessed it who also may have felt uncomfortable. So I owe them an apology as well.
Yeah.
Now I find it funny how he acts like he's doing the world a favor. Oh, this was so long ago. I would never do it today. Well, of course you couldn't do it today because we're living in a whole different era, okay? We have things like Me Too, Time's Up. So you couldn't do this today if you wanted to. So you're not doing us a favor by saying, oh, I wouldn't do that today. You should have never done it. Point blank, period. Who are you to demand massages on set? I'm sure other folks' backs hurt. I'm sure the camera guy, the grip guy, the people putting up the sets, I'm sure their back and their shoulders hurt as well, and they weren't demanding massages. So this was definitely him flexing his power on set. So this was definitely Dan Schneider using his position of authority to flex his power.
And talk to me about the writer's room. From what I saw, not cool.
No. And I don't mean to cut you off, but if I can cut right to the chase, let me just say, no writer should ever feel uncomfortable in any writer's room, ever, period, the end, no excuses. Most TV writers, comedy writers have been in writer's rooms and they are aware that a lot of times there are inappropriate jokes made and inappropriate topics come up. But the fact that I participated in that, especially when I was leading the room, it embarrasses me. I shouldn't have done it. And I can tell you why it hurts really bad for me. I remember very clearly my early experiences, my first experiences in the entertainment business. I was green, I was scared, I was excited. It meant the world to me that I was getting those opportunities. And I went in and I got lucky because they were great. My first couple of experiences were fantastic. And the fact that I didn't pay that forward to every employee that walked through my door,
it
hurts my heart because I should have. And I wish I...
He's full of crap. So you come into the entertainment business and, you know, you're blessed enough to deal with a good staff of people, a good work environment. And let's keep it real. Dan Schneider was fat as hell, okay? He was the fat guy on Head of the Class. He's always played the little fat clown.
It's $10. If you don't have the money, just give me my cookies back.
I can't.
So the fact that you were fat and you were given an opportunity that most people were not given back then, okay? Back in the day, Hollywood was all about standards of beauty and everything else. So the fact that you were blessed with an opportunity to do what you loved and you didn't pay it forward says a lot about yourself. Again, like I've always said, a lot of this stuff boils down to ego. You have people with low self-esteem, you know, who may not be the cutest, the fastest, the strongest, the tallest, nice body, and then they get into a position of power, and then they want to abuse and flex their power on people who are weaker than them. And that is the vibe I get from Dan Schneider.
I could go back and fix that. In the writer's room, there's no doubt that sometimes those jokes went beyond the pale, and I said things that went too far or made practical jokes that went too far, and that was wrong. And that was because, you know, I was an inexperienced producer, I was immature, wouldn't happen today, but I'm just really sorry it happened.
Yeah. Now, we know you've had a lot of success over 2 decades. Thousands of people have worked with you, for you.
Okay.
Let's speak directly to the people who did not have a good experience with you.
Okay, I would like to speak to those people because I hate that anybody worked for me and didn't have a good time. You know me, you've been on my sets. Look, I've had some employees that have worked for me for 10 years, some more than 20 years, who would work with me again, but not everybody. There's still a significant number that didn't have a great time working for me, so my batting average isn't nearly high enough in that area. And the way they wouldn't get the best of me is that I would let the pressure of doing 40 or even more episodes per year, I would let that pressure get to me, which a good boss should never, ever do.
Was there specific things that you were doing?
Sure. I would snap at people sometimes. Mm-hmm. I would be snarky when I could have given them a nicer answer. I would not give people the time that they needed. I would be in too big a hurry to get on to the next thing I had to do. And watching that show, it made me... There were so many times I wanted to pick up a phone and call some of those people and say, I'm so sorry, and let's talk about it. And I wish you'd had a better time, and I wish I could have shown you a better experience.
Yeah. Now,
what's very interesting about that is that he says, you know, watching the shows, what kind of sparked him to like want to, you know, reach out to some of these people, you know, like back in the day, reach out and touch somebody. Okay. Why did it take this show? Like, there have been rumblings about you on social media literally for the past 5 to 6 years. Okay. All types of deep dive videos. Many people have talked about you on social media, but you never thought to reach out to these people before it became a national story, before it went to television. So that's very telling that when social media people were talking about it, we were just dismissed. We were crazy. We were conspiracy theorists. But now, because it's on national television and, you know, now there's wider eyes seeing this, now he wants to reach out and apologize to these people. How convenient.
You've written hundreds of episodes. Thousands of jokes have been told.
Yeah.
But currently where we are, some people think that some of those jokes are inappropriate for children. What do you think of that?
All these jokes that you're speaking of, that the show covered over the past two nights, every one of those jokes was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny. And only funny, okay? Now we have some adults looking back at them 20 years later through their lens, and they're looking at them and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't think that's appropriate for a kid's show. And I have no problem with that. If that's how anyone feels, let's cut those jokes out of the show, just like I would have done 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I cut it. I want my shows to be popular. I want everyone to like it. The more people who like the shows, the happier I am.
Yeah.
So if there's anything in a show that needs to be cut because it's upsetting somebody, let's cut it.
So I think it's big for you to say with your work, if it's viewed as that today, you don't have a problem.
Cut it. Cut it.
I mean, that's a solution.
First of all, black man, you need to simmer down a bit, okay? These lies are getting way too much. I need to cut it, okay? Cut it. Cut it, cut. He's on some bullshit. He's like, oh, just cut it. Just take it out. Leave it on the cutting room floor. What? No. At the end of the day, these should have never been approved. And it's not about watching them through adult eyes. You guys were the adults on set at the time. So why did you think that this was okay? Why do you think that a skit called Big Nose Man, right? No, Big Nose Boy, excuse me, superhero. Why did you think it was okay to basically put things on his shoulders that look like penises and to make him sneeze this clear snot that looked like he was ejaculating on people and giving people cum shots?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And the joke in that sketch is effectively a shot joke.
Like, what part of that is kid friendly? What part of that is how kids joke? You know, kids should know nothing about that. So I don't believe that at all. I think he's trying to go the easy way by saying, oh, well, just cut it out. You know, I still want everything to play in replay, but we can just cut out those scenes. That doesn't negate the trauma that you gave to these children who had to put on these weird outfits and sexualize themselves and things like that. You know, this that young black boy being covered in peanut butter and then having dogs lick all over him, that situation looked like something that you would see on a fetish porn site. So him just saying, oh, just cut it out and I'm okay with that, that's BS.
Last thing I wanna ever do is put any content in a show that's gonna upset my audience and make them wanna turn off the TV. Why would I ever wanna do that?
That makes sense. I wanna give you an opportunity to kinda elaborate on something.
Okay.
The thought process from the series is you had the power to just write a joke and no matter what, it's going on TV. You just had that type of power. Is that true?
The notion that I had the power to just produce whatever I wanted and have it air is completely false.
Okay.
There were many, many levels of scrutiny, okay? We had executives in LA. We had executives in New York.
So two coasts.
Two coasts of approval, coasts. Yes. And, not, and by the way, approval at every stage, really. Okay. And I'm talking about wardrobe. I'm talking about makeup, sound, sets, dialogue, jokes, everything.
Now, when you say approval, these obviously that's a hierarchy, not your colleagues or people in the room. Okay.
No, not my colleagues. No, these are my bosses. Bosses, and then their bosses, and then their bosses. And they're approving all of this stuff.
Okay?
And we're also shooting it in front of all sorts of adults and caregivers and the set teacher and the families. Everybody's watching it. And if anybody had said anything, hey, we don't like that, that's not appropriate, then it would have been cut out.
Now?
Okay, right there, he's full of crap. He's doing a lot of shifting of the blame. Well, there were other adults there too. The parents were there on set too. There were caregivers and, you know, directors and, you know, all these higher ups were also there. They're wrong. You know, a lot of them were wrong as well, but we're talking about you. You were the head writer. These jokes came from you. And see, the problem is, Dan, you were the cash cow, okay? So when you're the cash cow, and you're writing this show, okay? This is how these people are eating. From executives to the child actors, to their parents, to their families, everybody's eating off of this show. So if this is how I'm paying my bills, they're not gonna be so quick to come to you and say, hey, this is not funny, this is inappropriate, cut that out. I think they all bear some responsibility. But you as an adult should have had common sense enough to know, like, you know what, I'm kind of pushing the envelope. And the reason why you felt so comfortable not only pushing the envelope, but also moving forward with the way that you move forward is because you knew that everybody was dependent on you for a check. And you knew that people would not be willing to confront you or say no to you because, again, that would affect their bottom line. So you and all of these adults are just as guilty. You can sit there and try and push the blame and say, well, other people were there too. But at the end of the day, it's not about other people. We're asking you why you didn't use common sense as an adult and not even air these skits, not even write these skits. Even the fact that you as an adult had this child, Amanda Bynes, playing the character Penelope Taint, and the name Taint came from a piece of skin between a man's, you know, ball sack and anus. The fact that you found that funny and you told other writers where that really came from is really sickening. And the fact that people knew this and they still allowed this to play out, it seemed like these kids were just being seen as some type of inside sexual joke. So I'm not buying this whole, well, there were other people there too. Why are they not being held accountable? No, we're holding you accountable right now by your feet. The same feet that you're obsessed with when it comes to children, they're no longer fat because you look like you're on Ozempic, but we're holding your feet to the damn fire now. We'll come for the other people later. But right now we're talking about you, Dan Schneider.
I'm gonna push back a little bit because the series painted you in this way that you were just the guy that was doing what he wanted. And people were afraid to confront you about things. So just humor me, say that was the case. What would have been the ultimate way to...
Okay, if nobody on the set, if all of the dozens and dozens of adults that were on the set, if they didn't say anything, if my bosses said, if they insisted, you've got to make a change here, you got to cut that, I had to do it. I had no choice.
Got it. Now this next one, it kind of hit close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Being a new father, I wouldn't be opposed to my child being in the entertainment industry. It doesn't matter what age, yeah? Seeing some of those on-air dares, seeing it now from where you are now in your life, what do you think of that?
I think that some of the on-air dares went too far. I think they pushed the envelope too far. Not all of them, not most of them, but some did. Nickelodeon wanted to do their version of Fear Factor. At the time, we were shooting All That, so I was tasked with doing these on-air dares with the All That cast. So we get with the writers, and we come up with all these ideas, and it's hard to do because we don't have the budget of Fear Factor, and we can't put the kids in dangerous situations like the adults are put in. So
kids.
It was hard to come up with stuff. But we would come up with all these ideas of dares they could do. We would give them to the network, and they would say, tell us the ones that were okay.
Right.
Those are the ones we shot. Those are the ones that aired. At the time, I had no indication that any kid ever had a problem with them. But when I was watching the show over the past two nights, I now know that there were kids who did have problems with the on-air dares.
Okay, that makes no sense. So as a grown adult, you didn't think that, hey, me making a child put a live scorpion in their mouth might traumatize them or might be something they don't like, or me spreading peanut butter on a child and then having dogs lick it off of him, you didn't think that that might make that child uncomfortable? you know, it's like, where's the common sense here? He's acting like this documentary just, you know, just opened up a whole new, you know, mindset for him. Like, just common sense. Somebody dumping a bunch of worms on a child is just creepy. You know, why was there a child version of Fear Factor? We saw adults who got traumatized from that show, not even from being on the show. I know I was traumatized from watching Fear Factor, let alone the people who were on the show. So why would you think that this was okay for children to do? I mean, the excuses that this man has is a shame.
And it breaks my heart. And I'm so sorry. I am so sorry to any kid who ever had to do a dare or anything that they didn't want to do or weren't comfortable doing. We went out of our way to make sure they were safe and that everything was done properly. But if a kid was scared and didn't want to do it, kids shouldn't have had to do it.
Yeah.
Period, the end.
Right.
And if I had known at the time, I would have changed it on the spot.
Now, we also saw the series highlight two former writers viewers, two women, mm-hmm. who spoke about a wage discrepancy. Now, I know that you don't divvy out salaries. Talk to me about that part.
Well, you're correct. I have nothing to do with paying writers. I never have. I've never made a writer's deal. And of all the writers I've been in a writer's room with, I never even knew how much most of them were getting paid.
Yeah, but we saw these two women who were writers for you sharing one salary. How mm-hmm. does that happen?
It's very simple. There's a common practice in television when hiring writers. If you have a spot for a new writer, sometimes you'll go to two writers and say, hey, if you two new writers for your first job are willing to share a salary, you can both have the job. Mm. They have the opportunity to say, yes, that sounds good, or no, no, thank you. In this case, it was two women writers. I've done another show where that teaming was done with two male writers, and they split a salary. I did another show where it was a male and a female writer, and they split a salary. So,
and these are all first-time writers.
All first-time writers looking for their first gig.
Again, that just shows you how exploitive this industry is. In no other industry can you tell somebody, I need you to do a job, work 40 hours a week, put your, you know, mind, body, and soul into this job, writing, which takes a lot of energy, brain power, and you're going to split a salary. Imagine a first-time nurse who's doing the same job as a nurse who's been there for 5 years, but because you're new, they're saying that you guys should split a salary. Imagine two carpenters who are doing the same job, even though this person is new, they're an apprentice. They're being told they have to split a salary. That's insane. This only stuff like this happens in Hollyweird. I've never heard of this happening in the real world. No, if I'm going for a job and you hire me for a job, I'm not splitting shit. I need my full paycheck because I can't tell my landlord, well, I don't have enough because I'm splitting a salary. So these people are having to write and work, you know, many hours on set, hit deadlines, and then still have to go to a second job to make ends meet. Like, how is that even okay? Why not, if you're going to hire them, if they're good enough where you're willing to give them a chance, why not pay them what they're worth? I'm not saying they should be making $100,000 a year, but at least give them their full salary. So I find that just really ridiculous that this is even a practice in Hollyweird.
How my experience was with you, what I saw prior to working with you, but again, I don't want to speak on anyone's journey. I saw you be honored for diversity in your work.
Yes, and the reason for that is diversity has always been very important to me in my shows. If you go back to the very first Nickelodeon show I ever made, that's very evident, as it is in the second one, and then the first movie I ever made for Nickelodeon, which starred Kenan and Kel, and every show I did after that had a lead black actor in it. I'm very proud of that. It's very important to me. And not only am I proud that they were in my shows, I'm exceptionally proud of the achievements they've had beyond my shows, and they've gone on to bigger and better things, and that gives me a great sense of pride.
Well, something that really kind of bothered me was how they depicted your relationship with the cast.
Yeah, it bothered me too.
Yeah, just me being there, I knew the dynamic was trust. I understood that in situations where they may have had turmoil, whether it be with their families, whether it be other castmates, they came to you. Versus how they made you look. With that said, Amanda Bynes was brought up in the series mm-hmm. and her emancipation and how you were involved in that. Can you talk to us about it a bit?
Sure. Amanda was between the ages of 16 and 17, and she wanted to get emancipated from her parents, mm-hmm. which was a fairly common thing with successful young actors, at least at the time.
Sure.
And she wanted that for herself. So she turned to her team, which included her lawyer, her agent, her manager, her publicist, me, because she included me as part of her team, thought of me that way. We supported her. She tried to get emancipated and ended up not working out, and she didn't.
Well, since we're here, let's stay here for a moment. There was also an incident where she had ran away from home, if
yes.
you would. Can you talk to us a little bit, just to clear the air of exactly what happened in that situation?
Yes. One night, it was very late, well after midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning, phone rang, I answered, it was Amanda. She was upset, she was in distress, she had had some conflict with her parents, I think her father, and she called me. I was immediately concerned about her safety. I called someone who I knew was fairly nearby. That person was able to go and pick her up. Then I knew she was safe. I felt better. She ended up being taken to the police.
Well, regardless of what some people may think.
First of all, this man, Boogie, you're putting a lot of your opinion into this piece, okay? You're supposed to be the interviewer. So as the interviewer, we don't care how you felt. I didn't like how, you know, they were making you look on the show because I feel like you created a really cool environment. That's not what you're supposed to be here for. So to me, I feel like this interview is very calculated. I don't know. I kind of aged out of Nickelodeon at certain points. I don't remember him. No disrespect to his, you know, stellar child acting career. But I felt like this is very calculated. Okay, this is somebody who clearly comes off as a friend to Dan. He's, you know, soft-shoeing around the questions that he's asking him. He's being very deliberate on what he's willing to ask. He's not really pushing back. And he's also inserting his own opinions in there. Who asks for your opinion? You're supposed to just ask a question and let the chips fall where they may. As far as the whole thing with Amanda Bynes, I think that if he was really a responsible adult, regardless of what Amanda was going through with her family, from what I saw in that show, Dan built a really close relationship with Amanda's father. So she was out there, you know, alone at 1 o'clock in the morning, supposedly got into a fight with her parents. Why not be in contact with her parents and say, hey, you know, she hit me up. I had one of my friends go pick her up. She's safe, so you don't have to worry about her. You know, we'll all have a meeting in the morning. You know, we can talk all this out. There's certain ways that you move as an adult. You know, kids are gonna have conflict with their parents, especially during their teenage years. That's inevitable. But as an adult, even when I've had kids come to my home to stay because they were into it with their parents, we eventually, as parents, talk to the parents. Like, yeah, you know, your son's over here. He's fine. He's safe. You know, if you need to come over here and come get him or talk to him, you know, by all means. That is what adults do. You just don't, you know, make little moves and then keep the parents out of the loop. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's only positive that you are there for people when they need you. That said, let's talk about some of the things that have just been swirling forever.
Okay.
You were banned from your set.
Never, never, never happened. That is a false rumor.
What happened?
Add it to the list of false
rumors.
Talk
to me, what happened?
They were adult actresses at the time, and they had their own specific reasons for not wanting to do the show anymore.
Mm.
I'm not judging that. It got tense, and what they don't know, maybe, is I did everything I could to make that show go away. My producer partner at the time, we would call and say, this is not a good situation.
Okay.
So I decided I'm going to do what most showrunners do, which is, you're not on the set. There's a director there to shoot it. I'll go up to the writer's room. I'll work on the next script. But
yeah.
Because everybody was so used to me caring about every detail of every show so
yeah.
much, for me not to be on the set, yeah, maybe some people thought I got banned.
So it was more of an assumption because this guy's...
So I'm going to fast forward a bit because this entire apology is just annoying me. So we're going to kind of skip towards the end and see what else he has to say for himself.
Brian Peck was not hired by you.
No, I did not hire Brian Peck.
This was a Tolan Robbins production?
Yeah. And when Drake and I talked and he told me what had happened, I was more devastated by that than anything that ever happened to me in my career thus far.
Mm.
And I told him, I'm here for you. What do you need? Which Drake mentioned in the show that we watched last night. And next, I heard that he went to court when this guy was being tried, Peck. And when Drake walked in, he saw 50 people sitting on the side of the courtroom supporting Peck. A lot of them pretty famous. Of course, Drake was devastated that happened. And even more disappointing, 41 of those people wrote letters for Peck, character letters, praising him for who he was and asking for leniency. And they knew that he was guilty. They knew he had confessed to some degree. Mm-hmm. And they still did this. That's baffling that adults would do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people know this, but Drake's mom, a lovely woman who I stay in contact with this day, she came to me at the time and she said, "Dan, I'm not good with words like you are. And would you help me with my speech for the judge?" And I said, "Of course." And I did. And he ended up going to prison and serving his time. And yeah, that was probably the darkest part of my career.
Now, I will say this. I am glad that he showed some vulnerability there. You know, he's actually speaking out against, you know, what happened to Drake Bell and calling out the other people who wrote character letters. And, you know, even when he said that Drake Bell's mom came to him to help her write, you know, the letter during sentencing, I do appreciate his vulnerability. So I will be fair in that aspect, that it shows that, you know, there's a little bit of good in there somewhere.
Here's the kicker that I really don't get. After he got out of prison and was, to my knowledge, a registered sex offender, he was hired on a Disney Channel show. I don't understand that. I don't understand.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that, man. Are you okay? You want to take a minute?
Yeah, I'm all right. Let's keep going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we really unpacked some important things. We set the record straight on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Before I let you get out of here, I appreciate the vulnerability that you use in knowing that there's definitely things that you would have and should have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we haven't discussed? Anything that if you could go back and navigate the journey differently, what would that look like?
Yeah, there's definitely things that I would do differently. One that I think would be really, really important is when you're hiring young actors, minors, to work in television, I would suggest that we have a licensed therapist there to oversee that process for the specific reason of making sure that those kids really wanted to do this job, that they really wanted to be on television.
Yeah.
Maybe they should even be informed about what that means. What's it going to mean if you're famous? What's that going to mean on social media? What's it going to mean within your family? Right. Let them find out. And then that way, if a kid doesn't want to be on a TV show, they can opt out.
Yeah.
That psychologist, that therapist could come to us and say, this kid doesn't want to do it, or their parents aren't understanding.
All right, so that was the apology. Like I said, there was a cool part at the end when he talked about Drake Bell. But other than that, I just feel like it was a lot of shifting of the blame and, you know, well, other adults were there too, and a lot of excuses. And my heart breaks for all of these kids, not just the kids in this documentary, but, you know, just child actors like throughout our childhood, you know, even going back to Shirley Temple. You know, these were children who had to sacrifice their childhoods so that way we were entertained and we had something to watch, and they don't get enough props. They don't get enough credit. You know, we pay homage to, like, you know, the adults in the industry who, you know, had these great, you know, memorable acting roles, but we don't do that for the children. And a lot of these children, unfortunately, were affected negatively because of their times on set. So with that being said, T-Sippers, thank you so much for checking out my reaction video. Let me know your thoughts on everything. How do you guys feel about Dan Schneider's apology? And how do you guys feel about the documentary? Did you guys get a chance to watch it? What was your favorite part, or, you know, the parts that just really disturbed you that you had no idea about? And do you feel like there will be a change in the industry, or do you feel like at this point they shouldn't even have child actors on set and they shouldn't have children's TV shows? Everything should just be 18 plus. So let's go ahead and get the discussion popping. I look forward to reading y'all's comments down below. Thank y'all for tuning in, and I'll talk to y'all later. Deuces.
If you want the latest news in the streets, join us and tune in for the tea. breaking news with integrity. So sir, your friends and your family.
It's the Lovely Tea TV Show.
Bringing you good tea and good vibes.
It's the Lovely Tea TV Show.
Be sure to share, like, and subscribe.